Hey everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to 2 bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. Oh, I just want to say before we get started, if you happen to be in the grocery store and you don't know what you're going to eat for lunch, and you wander over to the frozen pizza aisle and you don't get a lot of frozen pizza, don't pick Red Baron because it's bad and they overcharge and there's no toppings. And you can look at my Twitter if you want more information.
It used to be a fun thing where the commercials had a Red Baron in it. He was like a sexy dude that was serving single women pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He always made it look really good, but I don't know if I've ever had it until this time, and it sucked so bad. Anyway, let's continue with the show now that I've done our anti-ad. He's a puppeteer who teaches chaos magic. The show is called Death to Realism. It's an existential dance party puppet show. Let's welcome aboard the SS RLSF our guest, Tyler Nacho.
Hey, hello.
Tyler.
Hi.
How's it going?
I'm wondering what this object is behind Willie. Is this a Bigfoot behind you?
Oh, yeah. This is the stage squatch. We did this live in the studio for a while, and so I made this last minute, and then one of our old co-hosts covered it in hair one time. So that was fun. Great. And then these two pieces were left over from a show that I used to do. It was like a sketch show with stand-up in it, elements. And then this is my logo from a fake movie poster.
So good. I'm working on a time travel therapeutic Sasquatch project right now. And so there's a lot of Sasquatch imagery coming into my life.
Radical, radical. Love that.
Time travel therapeutic? Is that what you said?
Yeah, there's a concept of like going back into your memories and going to an event that you don't like the way it happened and basically re-watching the event in your mind and doing what you wish you had done and kind of doing that over and over again. And that being like a therapeutic exercise, trying to change your memories, basically kind of like a
rewriting
spotless mind type thing.
Mm-hmm. I like that. The version I would teach if I was doing that was like, go back and picture a moment that you didn't like and picture Bigfoot's watching you through the window and you want to impress him.
Well, this project, the puppet had like an erotic encounter with a Bigfoot, and it created a fetish for Bigfoots inside of her. But she can't score with a Bigfoot anymore. So she's got to kind of change the memory so she can get over her fetish.
This is a movie?
This is an immersive experience I'm doing.
Okay.
Awesome. I will say I did get to see the Death to Realism, and it was just really creative and so inspirational. I feel like everybody in the audience got to dance and cry and wanted a hug at the end of the show. It was just really amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love doing it.
How do you make a living doing that?
It's tough. It's definitely a road that I'm carving for myself that no one else goes down. But a lot of it is like immersive experiences at festivals with puppets.
Oh, okay. Festivals,
yeah.
And these puppets, you got a bunch of them behind you there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You build all of them?
Yeah, yeah. I make them all.
What's that British? I think it was like a YouTube show, and then it got really popular, and it's with puppets, but it's kind of dark. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They kind of look like that with the mouths and stuff.
Yes, I love that. I love that show.
You had nothing to do with that. Are you fighting those guys or anything?
No. I love Don't Hug Me, I'm Scared. They're awesome.
So how did you get into puppeteering?
I grew up like with Sesame Street, but I really got obsessed with Syphil and Ollie. Did you guys ever see that show?
I knew of it. I don't think I ever watched it.
It was like a sock puppet show on MTV at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people saw it, but I was so obsessed with it, like getting high in high school. And
I still have the song in my head. And yeah. I was always like 50-50. I'm like, this is funny, but I can't believe they're making this. Why can't I make this?
Exactly. It was very inspiring because it was so low budget and it was so good. that mm-hmm. it kind of gave me the inspiration to be like, maybe this isn't so hard to do. Turns out it's really hard to make a puppet. It's not that hard to make a sock puppet, though.
Do you know about like Mr. Rogers and Jim Henson? And I didn't realize that Mr. Rogers like made all his puppets and stuff.
I just watched the documentary, actually. It's pretty cool. Mr. Rogers was so insanely kind and nice. It's pretty rare to have someone that happy and nice in the world.
Almost so nice that you're like, what's underneath this? There has to be more to it. You know what I mean?
I know, but he died.
Nothing ever came out. So
yeah, nothing, no controversy. It's crazy.
Just a saint. They should have sainted that guy.
And he did too many things. The black guy with him in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, washing their feet or whatever.
Yeah. Just like,
because that was in response to like a public pool, like not letting black kids in, right?
Yeah.
I mean, great guy.
What's crazy about, I just read Jim Henson's biography, and one thing that just blew my mind is like the first time he did anything, it just blew up. He was like 15 years old and he started doing puppets and they just put him on TV. And by the time he graduated high school, he showed up to his high school graduation in a Rolls Royce. He was so rich from making puppets. And literally everything he did just was so huge. Like his first short film won an Academy Award. It was just like the universe was just like, yes, anything you want, Jim.
Yeah, this guy, he's
crazy.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hate that. I'm so jealous of people with talent. So when it comes to the paranormal and conspiracy theories and that type of stuff, how into that stuff are you?
I research it a lot. I don't have the greatest memory, but I do read a lot and I do a fair amount of alien research. But I think it's also, I don't know, alien research has gotten a little frustrating because it feels like we keep getting so close to full disclosure and there keeps being disclosure and like people don't care, or there's like all these videos online of aliens and it's just so hard to know if any of them are real. And like,
totally.
if we ever did get a video of an alien, it would look fake. And now with AI, it would be so impossible to know if a video of an alien was real. And like, so it's really kind of maddening at this point. And I think maybe a year or two ago, I kind of got exhausted from the whole thing and stepped away because it's just like, how do I even discern? Yeah, through all of the information.
Yeah, you can't parse. It's like a full-time job just to parse it. You're just like, I just want to know some stuff. I don't want to like be a researcher.
Yeah.
Why aliens specifically?
Well, I also really love cryptids, but aliens are cool because it feels like we're really close to making contact. It feels like it could happen in our lifetime. Like it feels like any minute now, just more and more is coming out. And I'm like, are we going to get to see the alien technology from the government? Are they going to show us? Like, is this happening? Yeah. So that part.
Willie, what's the new date? Isn't there like a new date?
Yeah. Have you heard of this? I know you say you stopped doing research a little bit, but have you heard of November 13th? There's supposed to be disclosure happening at a congressional hearing. But these whistleblowers have come out and said, if anything happens to any of us, we're going to full on spill the beans.
Whoa.
So supposedly something big is supposed to come out then. And
that's
this is
exciting.
Yeah. The main guy that I saw talking was the guy who did the Bob Lazar documentary where he put himself in it and had this big dramatic.
James Corden.
Jeremy Corbell.
Corbell. Yep. Something like that.
So he was out there.
James Corden did that. Well, this is kind of a good, because you mentioned cryptid. This is a good time to do the wow scale.
Wow.
It's a little 5-question quiz. It stands for Waiter Willie. At the end of the 5 questions, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. And if you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willie.
Okay.
Because on this show, I function as the skeptic, but really I'm just kind of like the sounding board, I think.
Okay.
I'm an audience surrogate is what I am. But this is for the listeners to know if they should trust you or not. Okay?
Definitely not.
All right. Are you ready to be weighed on the wow scale?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes to all 3. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Ghosts.
Oh, God. I definitely believe that spaces can have energy. Mm-hmm. Like I've walked into a room after an argument and felt mm-hmm. the weight of the room. And I think if something really horrible happens somewhere, it can kind of like hold some of that energy in it. I don't know if like one person is murdered somewhere, their energy can't leave the space. I'm not sure if I totally buy that, but I definitely feel like a place could be haunted for sure. I definitely believe in like a building or a space being haunted by bad things happening to it.
Have you ever experienced any kind of haunting?
I had one small experience, a kind of a minimal experience. There's a place in LA called Maxwell Studios, or it's Max something, Max Sennett Studios. And it's where Charlie Chaplin had his studio in the 40s or the 30s.
Where is it at? What part of town?
It's like Silver Lake, Echo Park.
Oh, okay.
It's not huge, but I had a friend that was a manager there and it's notorious for people thinking it's haunted. And he is closing up the place. It's just me and him in the building. And we go down to the basement. He's like, let me show you something. And in the basement, they haven't touched any of the film equipment since the 40s. And it's really? It's a dirt floor. And there's all these old pieces of equipment. And you can smell the soil. It's just like, it feels like you're stepping into the past. It's really weird.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, wow, this is really cool. I'm kind of feeling the vibes. We turn off all the lights in the basement and we go upstairs and he's turning off all the lights in the house and he forgets something and he goes downstairs and all the lights in the basement have been turned back on. So that was weird. And he told me that he had an experience once of walking through one of the bigger studio rooms at night and having an orb come at him.
Wow.
And he was not any kind of ghost nerd, alien person. He was pretty straight. That was his story, but not my story.
Did he describe the orb? Was it like one of the balls of light that like people will, when they get their photos developed or whatever, they'll be like that.
I believe it was just a ball of white light. Yeah. Kind of swooping down at him. It's not much, but it was really weird.
I don't know. I think that's the first time we've heard of a ball of light.
Yeah.
Usually
yeah.
It's things getting knocked around or something like that. All right. Question three, Bigfoot.
Who's the woman that like studies gorillas and monkeys? Jane
Austen. Jane,
she believes Bigfoot's real.
She and does?
Also, the question isn't, is Bigfoot real? We know that Bigfoot existed at one point. The question is Bigfoot still alive?
Nice. Love that.
Because we know that those types of monkeys or animals or whatever you call them existed at one point. We have the fossil record. Is it still alive? Man, it's so hard to say. I think I want to live in a world where Bigfoot is alive. So I'll say yes. I'm going to choose that reality.
Have you done a lot of research because of your project, or is your project kind of so out there that like the real, like the Bigfoot research you can kind of ignore?
My project is just comedic. So it's just, you know, I love the legend of Bigfoot. I love the way it looks. I actually just went to the Cryptid Museum in Maine. There's one cryptid museum in all of America, and it's in Maine, and it was pretty cool. I love the abominable snowman too.
Far away.
Yeah, it's pretty
cool. Well, it's the same guy, isn't it?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because he's got white fur, so.
Well, he might have some kind of chameleon camouflage thing happening, you know.
And the Chinese have a red hair one. That's why in
really?
I always say this in Big Trouble in Little China, that red haired creature is like their Bigfoot.
Oh,
all right. Question four: Illuminati.
I think that maybe at one point there was, when things were a little more simplified, but I feel like the world is so complicated now that any group trying to do that, it would be pretty difficult to get everyone that organized. So I would say the Illuminati. I think there's definitely groups behind the scenes making stuff happen, but as far as one group like controlling world powers and making big moves, I don't think that's real.
Beyonce, did they recruit Beyonce into the Illuminati and have her do Sasha Fierce and stuff?
I don't think so at all, but I do think that all famous people get opportunities to do stuff for big money from creepy ass people. And probably sometimes they do it and they don't know why and they don't know what it's for, but
right,
you know, they get opportunities to host certain events or promote certain things. But why would you give Beyonce any real information? Like, you're going to use her to like to affect people, but like, she's not going to be a secret agent for, you know, like, why would she's that's not her role. Her role is to like entertain and like convince, like, you know, control people's ideas, maybe. But
multiverse, you believe in the multiverse?
So is the multiverse like that right now existing in time is every single version of me that made every choice?
I think so. It can be that. That's kind of the big broad version of it. But I think, you know, if you believed in any version of it,
I think that every single possible reality isn't physically existing somewhere. No.
Okay.
I think that I think you could like jump into a new timeline where things are going differently for you. Like, but I don't think all of those are happening right now.
Okay. Willie, what do you think? Should I put yes for that?
I think more yes than no.
Yeah.
Okay. That's easy then. It puts you at a 4. So you're a 4 out of 5. So you're 4/5 of the way to being a Willie.
Okay. Willie, you believe all those.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
All right. Now that that's out of the way, Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi. Did 62 children witness UFO in 1994? We will be exploring the extraordinary events that unfolded in Zimbabwe back then in 1994. Join us as we delve into the chilling accounts of school children who claim to have encountered a UFO and extraterrestrial beings during their recess break at the aerial school. Did they see aliens? Or did they all just make up a story and run with it? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
That was good.
Well, yeah, but just wait until you hear it with the People's Court music under it. Do you know about this?
I have heard about it. Yeah.
Okay. I think I watched a documentary where they mentioned it, but there was a lot of other stuff happening in the documentary, so I don't know. Yeah, this isn't the one where they saw the guy standing on the spaceship, is it?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
So these kids, just a rough overview of what, because we'll get into some smaller details, but kids were on recess. This is one of the more fancy schools in Zimbabwe, but kids out here didn't grow up watching TV. This isn't normal, but today all of the teachers were in a meeting inside, and this whole event took about 15 minutes.
What year is this?
1994. Mid-September. And so some of them hear a noise. They see a metallic orb in the sky. Some say it was maroon colored. Some say it was silvery. Then it landed. 62 kids witnessed this. A lot of them ran over to it and saw one and possibly up to 4 creatures outside that had the classic alien face. Some of them said that they were black, but some of them say that they were wearing skin-tight black outfits. One of them was standing still. One started out on top and then came down, and then one was running back and forth. And they all talked about how it seemed like slow motion, seemed like it was fading in and out. Sometimes the shift would disappear. It was just kind of like a weird abstract thing where they weren't sure if they were fully seeing it. And then after it was done, they ran back to tell the teachers, and the teachers said, oh, no, you didn't see anything. And then they told their parents at home, and their parents were like, no, you didn't see anything. Even though it made the news, and it was pretty big. It even made it onto the BBC and Oprah. Who's the guy with the shoulders in America with the glasses?
Donahue?
Oh, Larry King.
Larry King. Larry King. I'm just saying, like, this...
For his big shoulders?
somebody did a sketch of him when he was older, and they had really high, bony shoulders, and I just can't get that image out of my head. I don't know what it was. So that's the gist of what happened, and it was major news, and then it disappeared, and, you know, like, most of the world didn't believe it, and most of them told the kids it wasn't real.
Are these the guys who, these kids who are now, well, how old were they? Were they in grade school?
This is 94. They were between kindergarten and sixth grade. So they were like between 5 and 12.
So now they're like 30 years old or?
Yeah. So the documentary that came out called Aerial Phenomenon, a few of them are getting interviewed as adults. and they still have all the pictures and the news stories and the pictures that they drew, and
they still believe it, right?
Yeah.
Is this the group that kind of that I don't know if they get back together a lot or if they just did it for the documentary, but was that they got a bunch of them back together to see if they all had the same story still?
Yeah, it wasn't really a bunch. It was a handful. Yeah.
But this is not the one where they heard the message in their head.
Well, so here's the thing. First off, the initial story of everything, everybody was just like, what happened? What'd you see? Okay, you didn't see anything. Then this Harvard psychologist comes in, John E. Mack. He is a professor of psychiatry.
I believe it's pronounced Johnny Mack.
Right? I know, right? Johnny Mack. At Harvard, he was an author, Pulitzer Prize winner. Oh. He came in and started interviewing the kids. And that's when they found out that a lot of them heard things and actually had what was maybe described as telepathic messages from these aliens. So, and they had different messages.
Oh, they had different ones?
Yeah. Like, not all of them got the same one. It was just kind of like a personal experience. If you're staring into the eyes and you caught that moment, there was something translated to you.
Tyler, did you look this up or do you know about it at all?
Yeah, I was reading about it today and I was thinking, okay, so, you know, I'm trying to play both sides and think about this and be like, okay, so if a bunch of kids come over to me and they're like, we saw aliens, and I feel left out, am I going to be like, yeah, I saw aliens too?
Oh, wait, are you a exactly kid too? You're a kid too.
I'm a kid too. We're on the playground. A bunch of kids run over and they're like, we just saw aliens. And I'm like, I want to lie and also say I saw aliens. Mm-hmm. If this is fake, that's the assumption, because 60 something kids saw it. So like, obviously, if this was fake, one or two kids make it up and then everyone else just jumps on board. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a kid that's like jumping on board. My instinct is to say that if I'm just a little kid, I wouldn't keep my story so simple. I feel like I would be like, I went on the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Or they gave me this rock, or like I would go with the story more and like one.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like when kids lie like that, you can tell because they keep going. They just like take it a little too far.
Right. Because you want to be like, you know, the kid the that best. Saw more. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to be the best at seeing aliens.
That's funny that you guys see friends. That. That's how I feel too. And
wait, before you get back to Harvard guy, did you guys have anything in my school? The thing that I remember really sweeping the school that I was surprised by was pogo balls. You remember pogo balls?
No. Yeah, it was it looked like Saturn.
It was like two balls like on top of each other, and then a disc, and you would put your foot on either side of the ball on the top, and then the bottom one would be like the pogo part, and you would just jump on that. And it was huge in my school. Like, everybody had one except for me, and they would do like pogo ball races during recess. And I just had to like sit there because I didn't have one. It sucked. Did you guys have anything?
Big at our school too.
Oh, was it? Maybe it was a Loveland thing.
We had Pogs. Pogs blew up. We would play Pogs and someone would lose all their Pogs because it was gambling.
Yeah.
And the teachers were like, you can't gamble at school. And we had to like take all our Pogs home. And I remember one kid stole a big sleeve of Pogs from me and I was like devastated. It was never going to be my friend again.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine losing a bunch of Pogs. I never got into Pogs because of the gambling aspect. Like, I don't think I could have handled losing Pogs, you know?
Yeah.
Boy, kid thieves, that's the worst. I had a Game Boy and my friend wanted to borrow one. And I'm like, but you have one. He's like, I just want to borrow it for the weekend. I'm like, okay. And then I got mine back and it was missing lines on it. And I was like, this is yours, man.
Oh.
But I couldn't tell him. So I got my bigger friend to come get it back with me.
Oh, ruthless.
I don't think I ever got really swindled by another kid. I don't think.
I'm trying to think.
My first experience with a kid that at school was me getting swindled, and I knew it, but I let him.
Yeah,
I was.
But it's kind of a good lesson. Yeah. It's like, trust nobody, right? Like, just be jaded and hard.
I was like, you know what? You can rip me off. It's fine. Like, just be my friend.
How'd he do it?
Oh, he told me that he had.
So you chose the doormat option.
Yeah. He's like, I have these stomper markers. You can write on your stomper. Stomper was a battery powered four wheel truck that you could just turn on and drive. This is one right here. You just turn it. Oh, this one doesn't. The batteries are dead. The lights are still turning on. A lot of girls got these stuck in their hair because they just keep spinning. But he said, oh, I got a stomper marker. And it was just a broken colored pencil. And you'd mark on it and the colored pencil would mark the truck. And he's like, I'll trade you some for a stomper. And I was like, I know it's a colored pencil. But
you did it anyway, didn't you? Yeah. Oh, my God, Willie, what are you? You're just letting people walk all over you.
You wanted a friend.
I know. I didn't know anybody.
Yeah. I was trying to think of like a lie that I told in school. Oh, man,
I had a friend
to be cool or something.
Like,
but
I had a friend who was definitely one of these pathological liars. But when you're a kid, you don't. I think even since they get better at lying, right? So now they're harder to spot or whatever. But speaking of like the kid lying about seeing the aliens and going on the ship, he just had all these lies like that his cousin was the bad guy in Karate Kid and stuff like that.
Oh, gosh.
And there was no reason not to believe him. It's like, okay, yeah, that guy probably has family. I don't know. Sure. He's your cousin. Cool, man.
I definitely had a kid say that his hands were registered as lethal weapons. Because I remember that for sure.
That's the best. I love
like,
that.
Like, I can't fight anybody because if I do, I'll get in trouble.
It's actually very smart because he's like, anytime he gets confronted and he wants to chicken out, he can just be like, well, my hands are tied. Literally.
I could kill you.
Yeah. Let's get back to the Harvard guy, Willie. What were you saying? What were you leading into?
He was saying that the interesting thing about group stories is he felt that if they were lying, they would all have a lot of the same details, like a starting point and then break off. And he was like, a lot of them, they didn't have that. It was like unique to a lot of them. And on top of it, the crazy thing is that, they didn't grow up with TV. So most of them didn't think alien at all. This was like put on them by people interviewing them. They kept saying it was a man. He just had weird eyes. His eyes were lower and bigger. And then they also thought that in their mythology, there's something called the Tikoloshe. I don't know. I'm bastardizing it, but it's like a dwarf-like water spirit that would become invisible. At any rate, a lot of them thought it was that, just their mythology. Most of them hadn't seen any alien or UFO shit, which is crazy. I mean, it's 94. But they just don't watch TV.
X-Files is on at that point, right?
Yeah.
That kind of tracks for, I don't know if you guys have ever heard how bad report, like when the police go to ask eyewitness reports, how everyone kind of has like different stories and everyone saw something kind of different. Like eyewitnesses are notoriously the worst. For evidence. It actually makes a lot of sense what you're saying, Willie, that if they were lying, they would all have a very similar story. And if they're telling the truth, they would actually have kind of slightly different accounts.
I took abnormal psychology in college because it was one of the, you know, whatever you had to. And we had this really cool teacher. And so he was starting the lecture one day and a guy came in and like shot him with a squirt gun and then ran out. And he was like, all right, so this is actually a test. And he put up like five pictures on the overhead and said like, all right, which guy just came in here and shot me? And everyone was like, we don't know. Like, we have no idea. But it's good enough for the courts. If one old grandma.
I know, man. I know.
So I'm looking at the ethnic groups for Zimbabwe and I'm just wondering, because you said this was an affluent school. Are these like white? Is there some white kids mixed in there?
It's a good mix. It was a good, I was surprised at the mixture.
Not that it means anything. I'm just trying to picture it because we all know the white devil lies, and especially the colonials.
Right. I was like, this isn't South Africa.
What's next after the Harvard guy? So he's kind of speaking up for them then.
Here's some of the details that came out from individual kids. And if you watch this documentary, you see the interview. It's pretty great.
What's the documentary called?
Aerial Phenomenon. Came out in 2022. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like $10. So each detail is like, I saw one kid saying this, and I don't know if multiple had the same experience, but these are all just kind of different things. Some of them heard a sound, a buzzing noise. They explained it as like an electric station or like bees, but a machine. And that's what made a lot of them run over to that direction.
Bees, guys, come here.
Right. Like, what the heck is this weird? This is a good perspective that somebody brought up, is that like, this is Africa. As a kid, you raised to be aware of your surroundings. You got fucking lions. You got elephants. You got to know what the fuck's around you. and whether it's school or not. So when they heard something, they went to investigate. I'm like, oh, that tracks, as opposed to like, because they were talking about how scared they were. But it's like, what is this thing?
I'm sorry, I pulled up Aerial Phenomenon's website, and the first like testimonial is Dan Aykroyd.
Oh God.
Well, yeah, he's big in the world.
He's into it.
One kid described the ship that looked like a rock with water flowing over it, with the sun reflecting off of it. Said it didn't look like metal. I thought that was such a great description, and some of the kids were talking about how these entities look like shadows walking around, and the idea that some of them said that it looked like he was in slow motion, like a man running on the moon.
Whoa.
Like phasing out.
Your ship description sounds like Flight of the Navigator, kind of.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's cool.
I just watched that with my kid. I'm like, I was so happy that it holds up.
Does it?
For kids. I don't know if it holds up for adults. I still like it.
I just remember
Pee Wee Herman. Is that the Pee Wee Herman eye? Like, I just
remember the part with the, yeah, all the little monsters in the collection was my favorite.
Well, obviously, yeah, of course you did. Because you're like, dude, I gotta make some puppets.
Yeah,
the movie starts out intense. I was like, me and my wife were both kind of like tearing up and crying, going like, and she was like, are you sure we need to watch this? Because, you know, he gets lost right away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't he leave for like 30 years or something? And he comes back and everyone's grown.
Yeah. Yeah. His whole family's older. Yeah. And he's like a kid freaking out, going like, what happened? The government's like, come with us. We'll figure it out.
Whoa. Cool. Missing Time is freaky.
Yeah,
I don't like it.
The only experience I have is getting too drunk.
I know.
And then people say stuff that you did and you're just like,
Some of the descriptions was they felt like this. So they saw one on top of the craft and then it like phase shifted down or disappeared and showed up back. The other one was running back and forth, slow motion, fluid in movement, flowy, sort of like it glided. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Mm. If you have this ship, I've just never seen anybody like run around on top of an airplane. I mean, I guess they did back in the and they used to have those stunt guys that would stand on the
fixing it yourself. Yeah, yeah.
it's just weird to me that they have this ship that is like a Flight of the Navigator ship, and then you get on top of it. Like, why? Like, what? Why? You don't have like a deck that can come out of it or something? Like, I don't know.
It reminds me of those descriptions of aliens in the Bible that are like, you know, wings and spinning spheres,
wheels
and,
within wheels.
Yeah. And it's like obvious that whatever they were looking at, they just didn't have the words for. Like, you know, if you brought a spaceship that far back in time, they wouldn't even like know how to really explain it when you're, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I feel like whatever the kids are seeing, they are just kind of don't really have a way to even explain it. So they're kind of putting these pieces together.
Yeah, right, that's a right. Good parallel. I like looking at, I mean, even cars, wheels within wheels, how people have tried to draw it.
Going, we called cars like horseless carriages for so long. So now describe a spaceship. I don't know. It's like a horseless carriage, but it flew. It's like a bird carriage.
I mean, it's
a horseless
like
bird carriage.
If you looked at the drawings that I've made of Breaking Through on DMT, it's like, you know, it has nothing to do with what I actually saw when I smoked DMT. But whatever that was in that DMT realm was so far beyond anything I've witnessed. I feel like it's awesome. The same thing, you know?
That's what we just talked about last week, is the people trying to map that.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, can we do a real quick tangent and talk about your DMT experience?
Okay, sure. Yeah, I tried smoking it 12 times throughout my life and couldn't break through, and finally broke through. It was very difficult. It seems that oftentimes when you smoke it, you kind of get right to the doors and then you don't get in. It's very difficult to like do enough, but I finally broke through, and it was definitely the most inspiring, amazing moment of my life. When I got through, it looked like a stadium of entities all going, you're here, yay, everyone's celebrating. And then this one entity like comes forward and is like showing me like nothing in the DMT realm looks anything like anything you've ever seen. There's nothing.
I was going to say, when you say entity, did it blend into the background? Could you define the shape of it?
Yeah, you could define it. The best way I have to describe it is like, you know those diamonds that sit above sim characters? They're like 3D diamonds.
Yeah.
Imagine one of those diamonds if it was stripes of a rainbow and the stripes were going down. That's kind of like the closest I can explain to it. But honestly, it's just so far. There's just nothing to compare it to. It would be like showing TikTok to a caveman. It's just like it does.
Yeah.
It's just so far outside of this realm.
But the inspiration and stuff like that, did that come from a feeling or?
When I was in the DMT realm, it was brighter than reality. It felt like the reality was watching a movie on television. And then I had turned away from the TV and like looked at real life. Like it was, mm-hmm. It was like more bright, more in focus. And there was another dimension to it. There was like, it was like seeing an extra. It's so trippy. But
it was like those people who are colorblind or whatever, and then they give them right. Those glasses.
Yeah. But I think the trippiest part was like this entity like is showing me all these like jewels or something like that, like really beautiful things. And then it does this thing where it like turns and looks at me like it had its back turned the whole time or something. And it's like shocked and it lays me down on a table and all these entities walk over me and they're looking down on me. And then one comes down, it takes this different light objects and puts them on me. It's like he's trying out these different light instruments and then he gets the right one and he like pulls a lever or something. And like my body turns into like a prism. That it was like they were doing light work on me or something like that, like the surgery or something.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
So how do you come out of that? Do you just wake up or come to?
So the entire time I felt the bed on my body. And at any moment I could open my eyes and be there. Like I always knew where I was. But it's so fascinating that like I do not want to open my eyes because I'm like, sure. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Seeing the coolest thing I've ever seen. So, but I'm like, you're totally sober. You don't feel high at all. And you are completely aware of your surroundings. Like I could still hear everything in the room that was happening. Like if there was a fire, I could just get up and run. And it right. would be things would be wobbly, but like I could still see.
Do you feel like you had any communication vocally, mentally, telepathically, any sort of you?
Yeah. It was me going, oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. Oh my fucking God. Just that over and over and over again.
Did you have friends in the room?
Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit. Just doing that.
Did you have friends?
I had a friend that was helping me and yeah, he was just, he knew he had done it before. He was the reason I was able to get through because he knew how. And
was there any kind of, I'm sorry, I keep interrupting. Kind of time difference? Like, did it feel like you were there for a long time and then your friend was like, oh no, it was like 30 seconds or something?
It was about 10 to 15 minute experience. And I don't remember that being like very jarring, the time difference, but it was just, okay. It's so enthralling that like before you know it, it's over. And it was also, there was definitely a very real experience of it feeling like very familiar, like I was returning, like yeah. I had been there before. Similar to deja vu where you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is familiar to me.
Okay. My last question on this, do you think it's simulating death? Because that's the whole thing with DMT, right? It's releasing the same chemicals in the brain as when you die.
It felt like it to me. I definitely believe 100% that there's more things after you die, after that experience, whether I get to keep my personality, whether I get to keep my ego and continue on my like journey of like learning, or whether I get like reincarnated into a baby, I don't know. But I definitely felt like that was the place I'm going to go when I die, you know?
Radical.
But that's just an assumption. That's not like a feeling, like a truth that I downloaded. Sure. That's just like me putting the pieces together and being like, seems like it.
Because you mentioned ego and personality, did it feel like you were not yourself when you were there?
Totally myself, totally sober.
Okay.
Just kind of in shock by how cool it was.
Yeah. God, it sounds awesome, dude.
It is awesome.
Are you trying to do it again, or are you like, I don't want to tempt you out?
No, I want to do it. I actually just emailed these researchers in San Diego who are doing intravenous DMT.
Ooh.
And I'm like, sign me up, please. Hard. I want to do that so bad.
Where is right? It?
They try to
San Diego.
Yeah, I didn't know San Diego was doing it too, but that's the thing. They do a slow drip and they can keep you in for an hour.
Please. Can we do that? Let's do it. Can we do it? Send us that link. I want to do that. I never even done the smoking thing. I'll probably lose my fucking mind.
But I do like the fact that, yeah, there's doctors there going like, oh, you know, we'll take care of you if it, mm-hmm. if it takes mm-hmm. a lot of anxiety away.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. It's very scary. It feels to me like jumping off a high dive or something like that.
Oh, yeah. But that's only scary because of how exhilarating it is. Right. I mean, like, you know, it's going to be awesome.
The minute it hit, I was completely calm. But the moment before was really scary.
Will, are you good with DMT?
Yeah. So I will say the reason why I asked if the entity had a defined outline, because when these kids are talking about this stuff phasing out, it makes me think that maybe these entities are like in a different, I don't believe in the physical realm, but these things being in some sort of parallel dimension, yeah, maybe they would look like they were phasing in and out. Or if there's something you had never seen before and can't define, maybe your eyes can't actually define what it is. And that's kind of why they're disappearing a little bit. I don't know. I thought that was fascinating.
I think that seems right. But the question though, for Tyler is like, that to me would be really like off-putting, like to not be able to like, was it like overwhelming in that like your senses can't like make sense of what you're seeing, or were you just like fine with the whole thing?
I think for me, I like, I'm always watching crazy ass horror movies and I'm like always like drawing monsters and looking at weird stuff. I'm such a visual person that it's pretty easy for me to like interpret visual information, where maybe other people would feel differently. But for me, I was like, I was just eating it up as inspiration. Just like, yeah. Oh my God, this is getting the downloads.
So as this guy, John Mack, was interviewing them, here's a couple of things some of the kids said was, one girl had a feeling from looking into the creature's eyes that if you want, you can come with me.
Ooh.
And and then
that's
another
that same
kid,
high dive feeling, right? Because you're like, oh, I want to.
Yeah, this girl, when she was saying it, she was like crying still, like
she missed out.
No, like she was so scared.
Oh. Yeah.
And then one kid said that there was some sort of message about pollution that, like, just from staring at them, that somehow we're making harm on the world.
It
was nothing specific.
I know, but that's the part that kind of, now I'm like, meh, because it's like, well, for one, like, would aliens even care if they're like these trans-dimensional kind of guys? It's like, well, I don't care about these people.
Well, I agree with you, but here's the other message that one kid got was a vision of all the trees in the world falling over and then people suffocating. And that immediately makes me think, oh, these are interdimensional. I mean, these beings live here too, and we're going to kill them too if we kill the planet. But that's a little preachy. That's a little
seems like they would just kill us though if they're in danger, well, right?
And one message was we mustn't get too technologied or whatever. They pronounced it wrong. I forget the wrong, but it was funny. But I'm just like, the weird thing is this.
It's everything that we've been doing.
I would feel like they should be smart enough to not give this message to kids, but maybe they've already tried to give this message to adults. But the message was so bad that I don't believe that this was actually like a, hey, let's tell these kids this stuff. I feel like they somehow went down and that was just some messages that happened. And I don't think it was an instance of let's communicate, let's warn these people.
It's almost like if you stop somewhere for gas and you see somebody and you're like, have a good day. Like,
yeah.
You're messing up the planet. Maybe check this out.
Pretty dirty over here. Just saying.
Yeah. Because you're right. If they wanted to communicate that message, that's a pretty terrible way to do it. Like, do it to some children and then run away real fast. Like,
right.
It would be easier to like find a bigger group of humans in general and be more obvious about
the Super Bowl. Just go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but here's the crazy thing, Kay. The Phoenix Lights happened after this. But so the Phoenix Lights, right, Tyler? It's just the
no. What's that?
In March of 1997. This giant slow moving craft flew over the whole state of Arizona, and there were hundreds of witnesses, and it was a pretty big deal. But in the same vein, if you were trying to make some sort of, you wouldn't do it at night in a ship that was black against the black sky. So like, I don't think that was any sort of message either, but
I feel like there's one thing that we can be sure about with aliens is that they're not trying to communicate. And if they were, they would just do it. Like, I think it's pretty obvious that they're either not interested in being seen or they're purposely hiding.
I agree with you. My parallel is, you know, we're not talking to dolphins or octopi. We know they're smart. We're not talking to them. Gorillas, like, we taught a gorilla sign language and it felt like there was communication, but we're not actively trying to talk to any of them. So we're, you know, they're just going about their business and they just happen to be here too.
Yeah, and we focused all our attention on like a handful of gorillas. So maybe they focused all their attention on a bunch of hillbillies in Alabama or something like that.
Right? They have no concept of how dumb we really are.
Do you think, though, that like maybe part of the problem is because they communicate telepathically that if you're speaking to a non-telepath, it's sort of like they're reading your mind in a way that's like, oh, I can't really communicate with this person. Like, they're just getting kind of like random, whatever my thoughts are, but not necessarily what I'm meaning to deliver to them or something.
Yeah.
Maybe a bunch of thoughts on top of each other. And it's
right. And that's why they all got different messages or something.
Yeah, they did. There wasn't any concrete. And from the documentary, I couldn't tell if anybody had a similar message. They just spewed out a few. The documentary focused a lot in the end of John Mack's career of how Harvard was just like, fuck this guy. Like, he's representing us. Like, let's blackball him. Push. You know what I mean? Like, and then at the end, they're like, wait a minute. You know, you're allowed to be wrong in science. So we should be celebrating the fact that he pursued something that he's wrong about. I mean, like, it was really funny.
Well, I think it really comes down to the skeptics say that it was mass hysteria.
Yeah.
And do you guys believe in mass hysteria in a form where people think that they saw something?
I don't, just because I can't. Like, how, in what scenario would that ever, like, how would that, how would that ever, like, what it... It doesn't make any sense to me. Mass hysteria might as well be as alien as aliens, because it just seems like something that's like insane.
My only version that I don't believe in is if they were trying out holographic technology but I don't believe that. But I think that might be a thing, because we do have holographic technologies that people can't even comprehend, because they're way better than just the ones you've seen Tupac rapping on stage. They can use sound to create a hologram or even fire, just weird shit.
Yeah, I have a really hard time wrapping my head around mass hysteria past just a group of angry protesters or like an emotion. But like, when they blame mass hysteria on like everyone believing something that just didn't even exist, I don't understand that leap. I've never had an experience where someone was so convincing that I got caught up in the moment. I don't know. It just doesn't really make sense to me.
Whenever big events like this have an excuse for people that don't believe in stuff, it just allows them to turn it off and never think about it again.
You know, though, what could be like a mass hysteria event that I could maybe get behind is the thing that happened at the mall.
Oh,
like
the Miami, the tall Miami aliens. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Tyler, did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Because that was like a kind of thing where it's just like someone on the podcast, I think, was in an airport and people just started running or whatever. And so they all started running, and then it just became this thing where it's just like, well, there's got to be a shooter or whatever. And I can understand a mass hysteria believing there's a shooter when it comes to that. Especially today when that stuff happens. So maybe the mall thing.
The mall thing was crazy, but it definitely felt like TikTok was pushing it.
Well, but it also feels like you need an impetus, right? Like, you need a jumping off point. And like, some kids at recess. Like, what would theirs be, you know?
Right.
Especially in Zimbabwe. Like, they don't even, half of them didn't even know the word alien. What's that? What are you talking about?
And they're used to seeing elephants. Like,
yeah.
So they see stuff. It's not like in Colorado where the coolest thing we've seen is like a raccoon, you know? So I guess the thing is, like, what's happening today with this thing? Because it feels like people are kind of like checking back up with these guys. And does it match like any of the other kind of alien stuff?
The documentary was depressing because they all were basically shunned about it their whole life from the get-go, to where like they just had this traumatic event that nobody believed them, and they're like happy to reconnect with each other because they've suppressed it, an experience that, and the thing is, you know, they have meaning to it because they were young, but it actually wasn't a meaningful event. So like they just have trauma.
Yeah.
Do they have trauma? They're categorizing it as trauma.
So, well, some of the kids you could tell did, because when something bothers you, you want to talk about it. But then when everybody you trust is saying it wasn't real.
Right. But if Moose came home from school and he said this stuff and no one was believing him, even if you don't believe him, you would say that you did, right? I mean, so these kids have bad parents? That's what you're saying?
Well, I know, right? Yeah. It was a different times. Like every single one of them was smoking a cigarette. As they were saying, yeah.
I think that if you see an alien, it's kind of traumatizing, whether people believe you or not. It's like it's probably a feeling of being confused about what's real and what's not real. And
I'm glad you said that, because to see an alien face shifting, why should that not be in your room every night?
Well, but you're the guy who's afraid of the dark. I like, not to dismiss your point, but like it feels to me like it would be liberating in a way. And maybe they're not emotionally intelligent enough to like take that viewpoint. But like,
it's a little kid.
No, I know, but
it's terrifying.
But they didn't sound terrified, did they? Like when they went up and told the teacher or whatever, were they like freaked out or were they?
Yeah, oh, they were. And all the teachers like, this wasn't real. Nothing happened. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that sucks. I thought they were like, dude, we know the universe now.
I think some of the older ones were good at interviews because they're like, this is cool. But most of them were like, we were scared and no one could help us.
Yeah. Tony the Tiger came to life on my cereal box and no one will believe me.
Yes.
It's the frog, right? It's the frog that only dances when... what's the frog?
Hello, my baby.
You know the frog.
Oh,
yeah, that guy.
Yeah, they're lucky. None of them got abducted. That's pretty cool.
All the news coverage definitely shifted and they kept saying the word abduction. I'm like, there was no abduction. These kids witnessed this thing. Like, and so everybody's skewed in their mind. Yeah, go on.
When you're into this and you're reading about all the alien stories and the abductions and the cow mutilations and stuff like that. And then there's this story, which is kind of just like, they came down and they like kind of danced around on their ship and then they bolted. Does that match with any of the other things? Like no one got abducted. Like, does it give it more or less credence? Is my question clear?
For me personally, actually, Tyler, if you want to answer first, I don't want to put anything in your mind.
Understand the question.
So the question I'm saying is, mostly we talk about like hillbillies seeing aliens and then none of us believing them, right?
Right.
And the cow mutilations and everything. I've never heard a similar story where aliens just kind of came down, made their presence known, did some telepathic shit. So I'm wondering if it aligns with any of the other, you know, quote unquote sightings, or if it throws a wrench into the sort of narrative of aliens.
I think there's a lot of sightings where people just see crafts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, the ones where their power goes out and stuff, right? Like the one from...
For the Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
That was a normal experience for a while. What supported things that I am into is they're like, oh shit, whatever the skin tight suit is that, like, I've heard many different versions of them wearing a suit, the way that the kids described it, tracked. And then like, because I believe there's multiple entities just always around us, different races. Yeah. I'm like, oh, whatever they were doing, maybe they were doing something to their craft because, yeah, it was on the craft and then they disappeared. And we don't fucking know anything. They brought a Geiger counter out and was like, oh, it's all normal out here.
I like the idea that the aliens crashed momentarily and these kids walked by. And the aliens would turn over. They're like, hey, kids, you might want to clean up your shit. And then they drove away.
Yeah.
They're like Karens in a way. They like drive through a bad neighborhood and like their car breaks down. And instead of like, they're just like, what's up with this? Like, fix your fucking neighborhood.
Yeah. You're all going to die if you don't figure this shit out.
Like, hey, man, you know these trees? You kind of need them. See ya.
Yeah. I guess my question is, does this help believe in aliens or does it conflict with like the sort of like status quo alien?
I think that the most suspicious thing about alien encounters is when people are making money off them or getting attention. Mm-hmm. And I think so whenever I hear an encounter where someone doesn't obviously have a way to benefit, it makes me feel like it's more legit. So yeah. To me, this does add legitimacy to alien encounters because these kids weren't trying to write a book or something. And when the documentary came out, I don't think any of those kids decided to write a book that came out with the documentary or anything.
Yeah. And this is 30 years after the event. And like, right. they're crying about it with nobody knowing that they're crying about it.
Yeah, and none of the parents made a movie about it, or it was just a thing that happened and no one found a way to make money off of it. So it seems right. like it has more legitimacy in my mind.
And part of it too is like, it's kind of it's a boring story when it comes to aliens, right? Like, yeah, no, they came down and then they left.
Right, like, yeah.
All right, go ahead. Try and make a movie out of that.
I like the idea that maybe we somehow created synthetic life, AI, whatever, and these are just synthetic humans from the future, like trying to commit suicide, going like, hey, watch out for technology, man. Like, you guys maybe should chill out on the technology.
We don't want to exist.
I love the concept that that grays are basically like their version of a robot that they send out, that they're not even actual entities. They're like
emotionless AI is what a lot of people say the small grays are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
They're slaves.
That's interesting, though, slaves. Because like, how long did it take? It took us getting to the precipice of AI to assign that, right? Like, nobody had that thought before we started cracking AI.
Well, I think that that's been around for at least a decade because when people look into their eyes, they don't feel emotion. So they may have assigned that onto the idea that they're somehow technologically advanced, but they don't have emotions. But the big black eyes, some people think is some kind of light covering
or a helmet. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When you look into a bug eye, like it, you project.
Right.
The bug isn't thinking anything.
Well, there's also that whole philosophy Terrence McKenna had about like, as we evolve, we're going to have telepathy and we're going to be able to move things with our minds. And basically, like, our muscles will become less and less useful as robots take over things. And then, people say we're going to get fat in the future, but the reality is we'll probably be able to control how the food affects us and stuff like that.
Yeah. You're not going to eat burgers all day when you have a tube.
Right.
Or we've got some kind of fat pill. I mean, right. Ozempic already
exactly.
exists, right?
Exactly. So like in 50 years or 100 years, our brains keep growing, but our bodies get smaller and smaller.
Yeah. Tell that to the bodybuilders, though. I mean, like, that's always going to be a thing. What about a jacked small gray? Just like,
yeah, dude, the jacked,
just competing.
Dude, yeah. Jacked gray is a movie I want to watch.
kicking over all the scientist grays and taking over the spaceship.
Oh, you don't believe in us, huh? How about this? And the other grays are like, he doesn't represent us.
His telepathy isn't as good because he's got muscles.
He's on steroid droids. That's good. That's pretty good. A new robot that makes you stronger. A little microscopic robot called a steroid droid that makes you strong.
Oh, yeah. It works out your muscles in your sleep. It's just like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing as those like pulse things that people stick on there. Only it's inside. Well, we should start to wrap it up. Do you have any kind of like, do you believe this? Do you guys believe this?
I 100% do. I think that there's too many witnesses and there's nothing significant about it. So I love it.
Yeah. That's what's so cool about it, is it's big and small at the same time.
It's really cool. And I wish there's this British series, and I don't remember what it's called because they change the name of it every 10 years. And it's called, like, they just decided, these Brits decided they were going to document these children for their entire lives. And so they check in with them every 10 years. It's really boring because they're just like normal people. But it would have been cool if someone would have done this with these kids, to just kind of like keep it in the forefront of their brain a little bit. Because, like, I know there's stuff from my childhood that probably happened, but the cloud of memory just makes me think it was a dream or something. And I can't imagine seeing an alien and having be told to me that it didn't exist and then living for 30 years. Because you would just be like, okay, yeah, I don't know. I guess it didn't happen. You're just gaslit by, like, society.
Well, there were reporters, and there were, like, they were doing drawings of the aliens and stuff. So there was enough time for them to, like, draw it and be asked what it looked like, to at least cement the memory.
Yeah, yeah, totally, a lot of the interviews were group interviews. So it's like, who else is important here?
Mm.
You know, I get that too.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's like a bad leading. Then you're installing stuff, right? Because then the other kid says something and you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm rewriting. It's just like your movie about, like, rewriting memories. Because every time you think of it, you're rewriting the old version. I don't want to blow up your shit, but it seems like I believe it happened. I don't know if you can trust any of their memories at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't believe that. Oh, here's what I wanted to ask before we close. I thought the ship was, like, hovering. It was on the ground.
It was hovering and then it landed, but nobody actually saw it land. I think the noise, they think that some kids saw it and then they heard it and they went over to where it was.
Okay. And it was on the ground when they saw people walking around on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that makes a lot more sense. I was picturing it in the air and they're, like, running around on it. Like a bunch of,
what kind of bullshit UFO has to land? UFOs don't land. They just chill.
In the future, there is no ground.
Yeah.
There's only more areas.
One kid said they heard some sort of whistling. So I think that the ship had some kind of problem, and that electrical buzzing sound they heard drew them over to it, but they fixed it and then they left.
Oh.
It's a fun thing to talk about, and you know, we're not going to get to the bottom of it. Maybe these guys who made Aerial Phenomenon will, like, follow up or whatever.
I mean, I don't know if there's any more to follow up on. That's just a thing that happened. And,
yeah.
We can believe them or not believe them.
Maybe. Okay, because you said in our lifetime, you're expecting contact, right?
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Maybe at that point, they're going to be like, these guys are with us. These 63 kids.
Picture them having the, you know, they're working on, like, recreating people's dreams using neuro pathways and whatever. What if they could recreate memories that people had so we could watch them? I'm like, that's a cool future.
Oh, if you could rewatch your life. Oh my God, that'd be so good.
I know. Instead of looking at a picture, like, oh man. Yeah. But without the emotions attached to it, so you could watch it and not be sad.
That'd be so cool.
It would be amazing. I just don't think, I think those files are corrupted by time, right?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that you could get to the actual?
I think the files exist in our brains, but how to access them is pretty complicated.
Every time I hear about these weird humans that can remember every moment of their lives, I'm, like, completely jealous, but I'm also like, I don't want that either.
I have a friend that has almost perfect memory, and I love it, but I also kind of feel for him, because I feel like my bad memory is part of why I'm so happy.
I just totally agree.
I have
a bad memory too. And, like, it sucks when you have a friend that remembers everything, because you lose every argument because you have to trust that they just remember it better than you
do.
And so it's like, well, this isn't fun.
Or he'll be like, you've already told me this twice.
Oh, dude, that is I hate that feeling. Yeah. It's like, okay, just put me in the grave then. I'm done here. Like, if I'm repeating myself this early, fuck, dude, we're done.
Yeah, no.
We're done. It's only going to get worse.
I know. I drove by this place that used to be a Pep Boys. And every time I told Sean, may I have my car towed here so many times? And she's like, you tell me every time we drive by it. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm sorry. You know,
sucks.
I'm trying to point out how far away it is. Not that it was that it was an experience that I enjoyed.
What's your other thing? Because we mentioned Death to Realism. And that's something that is just, well, I didn't even ask where you're located or anything like that. I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles.
So the Death to Realism, was that the thing you were traveling around with, or was that the other thing?
Yeah, I was on tour with Death to Realism. I went to Nashville and Maine and New York and Oakland, and that was just a part of it. I've been all over the world with it.
Is it something that you do frequently? Like, are there plans still to going? Travel around again?
Yeah. And I'm going to do a few more shows of this one. And then I've got a new show that I'm working on right now that I'm going to debut soon.
Is that under the umbrella of Death to Realism? Or that
yeah, it'll be like
else?
Chapter two. Yeah.
Okay. And then your zine, you have a zine too. Is that still?
It's a magazine called Kill Pretty, and it's a lifestyle magazine about everything from, I interviewed like one of my favorite movie directors, Brian Usna, who directed From Beyond and Society.
Oh, cool.
And so there's like film directors, there's skateboarders, there's graffiti, there's sex, drugs, fashion, photography, a little bit of everything. It's a full color magazine, 140 pages with no ads. I'm releasing a new one at the beginning of next year with this incredible director named Tamara Davis. Tamara Davis directed, have you guys seen CB4? Chris Rock's gangster rap parody?
Yeah, yeah.
She directed CB4, then she directed Billy Madison, and then she directed Half Baked.
Wow.
And she also married a Beastie Boy and was best friends with Basquiat. She was like one of the most interesting people I've ever met in my life. So I interviewed her and a lot of really cool stuff in the new issue.
So how do people get that? Is there a website or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Killprettymagazine.com is where I sell that. But everything that if you want to find me, my Instagram is the letter T Nacho. Like Tyler Nacho. T Nacho is my Instagram. And yeah, I'm always updating with I put out a lot of products and comedy videos and puppet videos and all kinds of stuff all the time. So
amazing. Do you have spare puppets you don't care about that I can just like take and then give you back?
You want to borrow a puppet? Yeah, you could.
Yeah, I want to just borrow a puppet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. If I ever need a puppet.
I can hook you up.
Yeah, but you won't know what I did with them. Like, you'll get them back and be like, what have you seen? You know?
Well, now that you've said that, I'm going to give you a really old puppet I don't care about as much.
All right. So Kill Pretty is the zine and Death to Realism is the show. Is there a third thing or is that it?
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, I do a lot of work with the Ministry of Quantum Existentialism, which is it's a group in Mount Shasta that does occult research and teaches astral projection and stuff like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff. The Ministry of Quantum Existentialism.
Wow.
Do you mind? Cause we got to start this bonus episode. I feel like we should just talk about that because I love talking about that stuff. And
If you're out there and you see anything he's doing live, don't miss it. Cause it's so worth it. And it's so inspirational. Like I'm never going to miss another show of yours.
Oh, thank you so much.
Me neither. As long as I'm on the list.
Yeah. Get on my mailing list.
Oh no, I meant the free. I want to get in free. Come on, we're friends now.
Okay. We could do that.
All right. Well, dude, thank you so much for being here. And this is a lot of fun. And thank you everyone for listening and watching on Trump Home Video. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. We're going to continue this conversation with Tyler Nacho about
the Ministry of Quantum Existentialism. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited. So we're going to do that over on the Patreon. So sign up. Thanks for listening. I'm repeating myself. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Is that your default puppet voice?
Yeah.
Sci-fi.